Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, September 30th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe will slide into a failed state if ZANU-PF fails to address mounting tensions over President Robert Mugabe's succession, among other issues, says the International Crisis Group.
Now, in terms of failing state, we are not saying that Zimbabwe is a failed state, and I'd like to make that very clear. But what we are warning is that this situation is dire enough in terms of most of the economic indicators here that, that shows that unless something is done seriously to arrest this decline, that there is a very serious danger that a number of the services that are already on the verge of collapse will actually collapse.
The International Monetary Fund says economic conditions remain difficult in Zimbabwe as growth continues to slow down due to many factors, including inadequate financial flows.
If anything, the economic situation has become worse, actually. And in addition to that, I also think that it's not only the South African rand that has affected our economy.
And the Zimbabwe National Students Union to file a court petition tomorrow challenging First Lady Grace Mugabe's doctorate awarded recently by the University of Zimbabwe.
The International Crisis Group says mounting tensions in ZANU-PF over President Robert Mugabe's succession, First Lady Grace Mugabe's entrance into mainstream politics, the dire economic crisis and related issues could see Zimbabwe sliding into a failed state. In its latest report titled Zimbabwe, Waiting for the Future, the ICG says Zimbabwe's politics and economy are precarious, raising the need for ZANU-PF to address the President Robert Mugabe's success issue at successor at the party's elective December Congress. The report adds that the ZANU-PF government should seek to rebuild trust in collaboration with domestic and international constituencies by holding an inclusive national dialogue with the opposition and civil society on political, social, and economic reforms needed to put the country back on the rails. ZANU-PF, the report says, should also clarify and act on key policy issues such as indigenization, land reform, and the rule of law that many see as the reason for investors shunning Harare. On the other hand, the International Crisis Report also calls for a major cultural change among political elites as well as commitment to national as opposed to partisan and personal interests.
The report also calls for a major culture change among political elites as well as commitment to national as opposed to partisan and personal interests. The ICG does not spare the opposition in its report, charging neither the government nor opposing parties has a plan the country is willing to rally behind to extricate the country from its political and economic problems. The ICG says the opposition MDC's, quote, cachet with international players has been severely dented, ostensibly because of infighting, splits, and related ills. The think tank also says the MDCT's planned mass protests may be met by force by Harare, with the expected deployment of the security forces. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu spoke with ICG Group Southern Africa Project Director Pius Pigu.
The research was done over a period of about 8 or 9 months with several trips into Zimbabwe, speaking with a range of interlocutors from different political parties, from civil society, analysts and so forth. So it's the product of an engagement with Zimbabwe, as I said, over the last 9 months, watching developments. It is a report that we've had in the works for some time, and we wanted to release it around the one-year period following the elections.
You also say in the report Zimbabwe is an insolvent and a failing state. Why this assessment?
Well, in terms of its insolvency, I think this is basically that there isn't enough money in the economy, and Zimbabwe is spending more money than it can earn without being able to provide a kind of sustainable financing option. Zimbabwe does not have access to the financial markets in the same way that other countries do, and it has enormous international and domestic debt obligations. So in terms of its insolvency, it's a question of really what does it earn and what does it spend? And at the end of the day, the figures don't add up. So it's not a sustainable situation in terms of potential sustainable economic recovery. Now, in terms of failing state, we are not saying that Zimbabwe is a failed state, and I'd like to make that very clear. But what we are warning is that this situation is dire enough in terms of most of the economic indicators here that shows that unless something is done seriously to arrest this decline and the hollowing out of state institutions and the capacity of the state to deliver, that there is a very serious danger that a number of the services that are already on the verge of collapse will actually collapse.
And that was International Crisis Group Southern Africa Project Director Pius Pigo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Pretoria.
Acting Director of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, Joy Mabenge, says the ICG report is an accurate portrayal of the growing political and economic crisis in the country.
Well, the majority of the assessment that is done by the International Crisis Group is something that I not only need to agree with, but it's something that is resonating with how we have continued to see things broadly as civil society, but in particular when it comes to me as a political analyst. And the challenge that we faced, Blessing, you agree with me, is that post-2013, the zero-sum game politics that we have had, which is a winner-takes-all sort of like a political scenario, does not help the country move forward. This is the very reason why we have a ZANU-PF government that appears clueless on how to manage the economy. This is the very reason why we have a ZANU-PF government, but also an opposition on the other end that seems not to have any clue in terms of how to rebuild the nation in terms of promoting national cohesion. What has been needed or what is needed in Zimbabwe at the moment is the capacity, one, for ZANU-PF to redefine or to define clearly who takes over post President Mugabe, and then for the entire nation to be able to chart a way forward that allows the entire nation to come together, one, to redefine the national question, and then two, to dialogue and build consensus around what exactly needs to be done. Now, the problem with zero-sum politics is that when the opposition leader, President Morgan Tsvangirai, put this up to ZANU-PF, that he thought that it was going to be prudent for ZANU-PF to consider dialogue with the MDC. ZANU-PF's reaction was that there is no need for dialogue in this country. It is zero-sum game politics.
The International Crisis Group is also saying that to avoid prolonged uncertainty and a possible crisis, ZANU-PF should decide conclusively at its December Congress who will replace President Robert Mugabe. What are the chances that this will be done?
The chances are next to none.
That was Acting Director of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, Joy Mabenge, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The International Monetary Fund says economic conditions remain difficult in Zimbabwe as growth has slowed down because of inadequate financial flows. In a statement, an IMF mission under the Staff Monitoring Program, which is led by Domenico Faniza and wraps up its visit to Harare tomorrow, says the decline in growth is being worsened by the appreciation of the South African rand. It says this has caused a liquidity crunch that has weakened economic activity despite what it calls a very favorable agricultural season. The IMF further says the country has, however, redoubled its efforts to rebalance policies towards a stable macroeconomic environment conducive to private sector-led growth.
The Bretton Woods Institution says Zimbabwe needs to restore confidence and stability in the country's financial sector and address its $10 billion debt by stepping up re-engagement with all creditors. The team has so far met with Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, Chief Secretary to President and Cabinet Dr. Meshack Sibanda, Governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Dr. John Mangujga, several senior government officials and representatives of the private sector, civil society and development partners. Economic commentator Masimba Kuchera of the Center for Disability and Development tells the Studio 7's Gibbs Dube the IMF has made commendable observations in Zimbabwe.
If anything, the economic situation has become worse. Actually, in addition to that, I also think that it's not only the South African rand that has affected our economy. I think there are also issues to do with the local governance that have also affected the economy.
Now then, there is a report which indicates that Information Minister Jonathan Moy is saying the situation on the ground in Zimbabwe is actually improving. Do you agree with that kind of outlook from the minister?
When you look at people's lot, it hasn't improved. Companies are closing down. The government is failing to either increase wages or to even pay the wages that they owe on time. And some of the payments to workers are not happening. So I think that because of that, when you look at some of those factors, you may think that the economy is improving, but maybe there are things behind the scenes that are happening which we are not aware of, which could impact positively in the end on the economy.
So in a way, are you saying that the minister is actually right to say there is some kind of improvement?
I am saying that the minister could have looked at other factors that we are not privy to, in the same way that the IMF has also said that Zimbabwe has achieved macroeconomic stability. I think when you look at price fluctuations and so on and so forth, that may be true. But the ordinary citizen on the ground has not yet started benefiting from the so-called improvement.
That was economic commentator Masimba Kuchera of the Center for Disability and Development speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. The government says that the country is currently showing signs of economic growth. That's according to a statement issued this week by Information Minister Jonathan Moyo.
The Zimbabwe National Students Union says it will file a court case tomorrow challenging President Robert Mugabe and University of Zimbabwe administrators to publicize information regarding the awarding of a philosophy doctorate to First Lady Grace Mugabe. ZINASU President Gilbert Mutubuki tells Studio 7 they decided to take the matter to court after failing to get information on the doctorate from the vice-chancellor and other UZ senior officials. Mutubuki says his union is worried that the doctorate awarded to the First Lady was ill-gotten and could discredit the credibility of the University of Zimbabwe and the country's highly regarded educational standards. Mrs. Mugabe was kept recently at the university, as was Deputy President Joyce Mujuru, who now has a Doctor of Philosophy degree in economics. Presidential spokesman George Charamba was not reachable for comment as his phone was not being answered. Mutubuki tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube they are taking Mr. Mugabe as the Chancellor, the Vice-Chancellor and the University to court to protect the status of UZ degrees.
As students, we don't even understand this doctorate. We don't remember Grace Mugabe in enrolling at the University of Zimbabwe.
So are you taking this matter to court? Give us a brief. What is going on?
Yes, sir, we are taking the University of Zimbabwe, the Chancellor himself, to constitutional court.
Why are you doing that?
We want clarification from the University of Zimbabwe that how come they awarded Grace Mugabe. There's need for them to clarify on this, to give information to the citizens of Zimbabwe and the students at large.
When are you filing this court case?
We are filing this court case tomorrow.
Looking at this issue, Mr. Mutubuki, what actually prompted you really to actually take this kind of route?
We are protecting the reputation of our higher and tertiary education in Zimbabwe, and particularly the University of Zimbabwe, which is the biggest university in Zimbabwe. We need to protect its reputation.
Have you requested for some information concerning that issue at the UZ?
Yeah. The authority, we wrote a letter to the authorities seeking the clarification, but they didn't reply, and they are not answering their phone, and they are not allowing anyone to come with this issue in their offices.
And that was ZINASU President Gilbert Mutubuki speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Meanwhile, former UZ student and former lecturer and internationally acclaimed writer Chenjerai Hove says he has lost pride and prestige of being a former student of the university, claiming the university's academic degrees have now become a laughingstock following the awarding of the PhD to the First Lady. Hove says he is sure that the awarding of the doctorate to Mrs. Mugabe has plunged the university's national ranking to a level lower than that of an ordinary high school. He said this in a letter to UZ Vice Chancellor Levi Nyagura.
What is happening is that most residents across the suburbs are concerned with the attitudes that is being displayed by the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority. When people have prepaid electricity meters installed at their households, their expectation was that the electricity supplies would improve, and because prepaid meters ensure that people consume the electricity that they want. But people have paid in advance, but the ZESA is not providing that service. So what it means is questions are now arising as to where all the money paid in advance for electricity usage are going. How is that money being used? Because there seem to be no explanation coming from the ZESA board, neither is there any explanation coming from the Minister of Energy and Power Development.
That there was the spokesman for the Combined Harare Residents Trust, Precious Shumba, who was talking about the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority continuing to roll out its prepaid electricity program, with some in the Zimbabwean community long used to being connected straight to the power grid, skeptical of the new phenomenon. Despite having several advantages, including being able to pay for their electricity using mobile phones and controlling their consumption, some people are not welcoming the new system, or at least they are not yet ready.
Chris, we now look at regional and international news.
The chief of the U.S. Secret Service says there is a recent security lapse at the White House in which an Army veteran dashed into the presidential mansion before being apprehended was unacceptable and vowed to make sure it does not occur again.
A new report says thousands of children in West Africa have lost one or both parents to Ebola, and that many are being rejected by relatives due to fear of infection.
And the European Union has decided to keep in place sanctions against Russia despite the ceasefire in Ukraine between Russian-backed separatists and Ukrainian forces.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Female members from teachers' organizations in Southern Africa today wrapped up a two-day workshop in Harare that was discussing the empowerment of women in education and their workplaces, among other issues. The workshop, organized by the Southern African Women in Education Network, was attended by participants from Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa, Lesotho, Malawi, Ghana, Mozambique, Swaziland, Botswana, and Namibia. Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Women's Empowerment Officer Hilary Yuba tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the meeting was a success, considering that this was the network's maiden workshop.
This was an advocacy workshop. At the workshop, we were looking at sharing experiences in gender issues between unions in the sub-region, which is Southern Africa. We also discussed the challenges of union in mainstreaming gender and the device strategies for the implementation of the Education International Gender Equality Action Plan on World Women Conference. And also we were looking at how we can capacity build the network to come up with good leadership quality for women in Southern Africa.
What prompted you to hold this workshop?
It was after the realization that in as much as trade unions are schools of democracy or should demonstrate democracy, there was this gap which we had identified that women lack certain leadership skills. So this actually prompted this meeting because we thought there was need to actually sit down and to put our minds together and come up with a strategy of how we can capacity build and train leadership skills so that we have women of substance to take up the leadership roles in trade unions and even outside the trade union.
What resolutions were made?
We resolved that as Education International affiliates, and particularly the Southern African region, we must work towards discrimination of any kind in education.
That was PTUZ Women's Empowerment Officer Hilary Yuba in Harare, speaking there with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Environmental experts say Zimbabwe, like most developing countries, still lacks effective resources and technologies to implement effective programs to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which accelerate global warming. At the United Nations Climate Change Summit in New York last Tuesday, countries from around the world, including Zimbabwe, made commitments to step up efforts to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions. Luveve legislator Albert Mhlanga of MDCT, who's pursuing PhD studies in logistics and supply chain at the University of Zambia, says through his research he has discovered that industries in Zimbabwe are still the major sources of water and air pollution despite laws in place to reduce the problem.
Take, for example, like I'm doing the brewery industry. Like you find Ingwevi breweries in Bulawayo is distributing its waste to Umkuza River. There are a lot of living organisms. Fish and other plants, they are affected by those products. We've got an organization which monitors that environment and monitoring agent. Therefore, these people actually have been mandated by Parliament of Zimbabwe to actually put a number of fines to these companies, including those people who are funeral parlors, where we need, after cleaning a body, that waste must be properly drained to properly places. But you find that a lot of funeral parlors don't have proper drainage.
What about at grassroots level? Are people aware of recycling and the importance of the environment?
People are not aware, but the law is existing. What I urge the government of Zimbabwe is to make a number of workshops explaining why this environment must be kept. I'm very happy Obama agreed that he's going to help Africa and the world so that the global warming can be reduced.
And that was Luveve legislator Albert Mhlanga of MDCT, who's pursuing PhD studies in logistics and supply chain from the University of Zambia, on the line from Harare.
And in sports news, a controversial issue: has Kelvin Kayundu resigned or not? That was the most trending question in Highlander circles today, as the media reported the Zambian gaffer had stepped down, while on the other hand, he and the team insisted Kayundu is still in charge. The Bulawayo-based Chronicles Online edition reported today that Kayundu resigned yesterday evening. Our sources corroborated this report, and Studio 7 is reliably informed that Kayundu did not attend today's training session, but he insisted without elaboration that he had not resigned.
No, I can't comment on those issues. I think I've given you what you wanted. Those reports are not correct, and I can't go into detail on anything else.
That was Highlanders coach Kelvin Kayundu on the line with Ntungameli Nkomo from Bulawayo. Highlanders Football Club Chief Executive Officer Ndumiso Gumede also insisted Kayundu was still in charge.
Nothing could be further from the truth. Mr. Kayundu has not quit his job. As far as I'm concerned, he's still our coach.
What was discussed in yesterday's meeting?
The shortcomings of the team and the anger that manifested itself with the supporters throwing missiles. One missile having hit one young ball boy who almost lost an eye in that incident. Unfortunately, this particular incident comes hot on the heels of another incident where we lost a supporter. And we were bemoaning this type of behavior.
Can you say unequivocally that you still have confidence in Mr. Kayundu?
Kayundu is the highest qualified coach on the land, here now as we talk. There's no other person who has qualifications like his. So we have every confidence that he is a good coach. We've seen it.
Highlanders Chief Executive Officer Ndumiso Gumede. And in the event that the Zambian coaches indeed quit, sports commentator Ezra Sibanda says good riddance.
It was long overdue. Kevin Kayundu, remember, I was hired 3 years ago, was given a chance to rebuild a formidable side. And then the following year, they say, no, let's give him more chance. They give him a chance. And luckily, he won the Mbada Cup because he negotiated his way to the final because he avoided teams like Dynamo, Cape City and Platinum, who were beaten by Haumai on the way to the final. Then he met her. Then he won, resoundingly. Then they said, okay, Kayundu, now you're going for a day. Let's send a new contract. We want you to build a squad for the future. Kayundu refused to adopt the youth policy, which Highlanders are known for. He didn't want to develop youngsters. But he decided to write a list of players, 19 players, and they asked the executive of Highlanders to purchase those players. And what they did, they bought those players for him. There are 30 players at Highlanders. And then when Highlanders, he's failing to come out with his first 11 in any particular game. If you know the kind of history, 3 years ago, from 3 years up to today, he has never felt the same 11 players on the starting lineup in any game.
That was a sports commentator and Highlander supporter Ezra Chisasibanda. Yes, Chris, the Highlanders story is really intriguing. We keep watching the story. We'll give you the latest tomorrow. And now we recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe will slide into a failed state if ZANU-PF fails to address mounting tensions over President Robert Mugabe's succession, among other issues, says the International Crisis Group.
The International Monetary Fund, on the other hand, says economic conditions remain difficult in Zimbabwe.
And the Zimbabwe National Students Union to file a court petition tomorrow challenging First Lady Grace Mugabe's doctorate awarded recently by the University of Zimbabwe.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Sitandekile Mhlanga. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night.
And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk. We are discussing the ICG report on Zimbabwe. Good night, Zimbabwe.